This is a public announcement. The following podcast contains strong language and may not be suitable for listeners under the age of 18. Or make that 14 if you're living in Warrington.
Coming up on what turns out to be our final podcast of the season, we take a look back at the Wolves' clusterfuck performance. We'll discuss our thoughts on Carl Fitzpatrick. Tackle Bags is concerned for your well-being. There's an unwinnable listeners poll for Steve Price, along with dozens of your comments. And Daniel from You've Got a Loose Wire opens the show today. Hanky's at the ready. It's all coming up. Oh, dearie, dearie me. Just what would Brian Bevan say?
There's obviously going to be a lot of anger. That's going to be an emotion that I think we're going to see a lot of, and I am seeing a lot of, and I can completely understand why. And I feel a fair bit of anger too after the performance, the results, the manner of the way we've exited the playoffs and ended the year. But for me, I feel sad. I feel sad because I think it's a really sad way to end what for a lot of the year had been a good year until kind of the last third of it. I think it's sad that what we saw there was a real show of how poor a side we've become in the last kind of few months. I think it's sad to see how much Steve Price has completely lost control of his side, really. Not in terms of that the side aren't playing for him, but in terms of that he couldn't get a performance out of the side tonight. That, you know, that was no better performance than any of the ones we've put in recently where we've lost the game. I know it was a close scoreline, but we were really poor. Only a few players came up with anything particularly good. I think it's sad that Bryson Goodwin and Ben Westwood in particular have ended their Warrington careers with such a poor game, although I thought both actually did alright tonight. I thought both were among our better performers. I just think, what a horrid, horrid way to end the year. And I do feel really, really sad about it. I do think it's difficult to see how Price can keep his position, although I'll be very surprised if he does go, because I think the club have quite a lot of faith in him. I think looking ahead to next year, which is obviously not what everyone's thinking about right now, but realistically, attentions will turn to 2020 soon enough, with a side that contains Widdop, Austin, Clark, Ratchford. If Steve Price doesn't get a very, very successful season out of next season's Warrington squad, then it really does have to be the time. But honestly, it's hard to see how his position is tenable after that, because he's presided over a horse shit second and third part of the season, to be honest, and just wholly unacceptable, completely and utterly wrong. You know, we talk about how much money Warrington have to spend in comparison with the rest of the clubs in the league, and it's astonishing. It's astonishing how much we've underachieved. We were second so comfortably. We've somehow conspired to finish fourth in a two-horse race and then bombed out of the playoffs at home in the first round. It's pathetic, it's pitiful, it's embarrassing, it's shameful, and it's saddening. It's saddening because I want better for my club. But we didn't get anywhere close, and we got everything that we deserved.
Hello, I'm an emotional Rob London. Or am I? We certainly saw it coming. So sit back and relax, everyone, as we guide you through the last What Would Brian Bevan Say of the season, although we'll be back sooner than you think. So at times like these, it's good to cry on the shoulder of an old friend, and boy, he's old. But perhaps he's the reassuring geriatric voice we all need
with our sensitive souls running on empty. Yes, he's our very own agony aunt. Move over, Claire Rayner. It's Sam the Statman Sankey.
Hello, good evening, Rob. I'm almost feeling emotional myself after that. All those years at Thirlwall Infants, Thirlwall Juniors and then Lim, and I think comparing me to Claire Rayner is probably the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Do you know who he's, her son is?
No.
Yeah.
Jay Rayner.
Oh, Jay Rayner, yeah. That would make sense. Oh, well, that could be me.
There you go, sir. There's a bit of nepotism for you. And also, there's numerous ways to pep yourself up with illegal stimulants, perhaps a tweak of a nipple or the blow on the back of your neck. But none of those are needed, as he offers more upbeat, positive, stimulative vibes than all those methods put together. It's our very own Dennis Viagra Waywell.
Yes, yes. It's been very hard, but I've managed to maintain a stiff resilience over the weeks, erecting a positive structure to the podcast, which has provided a rigid performance of late, and which in turn has enlarged a firm listener engagement, ramrodding the numbers to new heights. Time to sound the horn.
Now, you know what, Dennis, that was excellent for the last one of the year. It made Sam sound a little bit flaccid then, didn't it? Basically giving him our education.
Yeah, flat cock.
It did, yes, yeah.
Good to hear. How are you, lads? Are you all right?
All right, not bad.
Now, you're both...
Surprisingly perky. Yes, surprisingly perky.
What are you drinking tonight, boys? It's very late there in England. It must be coming up, nearly to 11 o'clock now. What are you on, Dennis?
I'll start first because it'll take Sam about 10 minutes to explain all his drinks. I just had a simple Timothy Taylor's, and now I've had a gin. And I'm happy to report that you've given us a half-time break where I can go and top it up as well.
Oh, excellent. And as for you, Sam, what are you on, mate? Or what are you not
well,
on?
Well, actually, you know, I started off on gin. Mrs. Sankey and I walked the dog down to the manor. We had a couple of rhubarb gins and I had a nice glass of Chardonnay there. And we had a bottle of Sancerre with tea. And I've just started another bottle of Chardonnay just to make sure I'm nicely snozzled by the end of this hour.
Mm. Did you take your mate Carl along? I hear you were hanging out together at the HJ on Thursday night.
Well, there was only us two there. So I said to Carl, Carl! And he shouted
something in your throat.
You got a furball.
God, there was nobody there. There was absolutely no one. Even the wire flyer didn't show up at half time. He couldn't be arsed either.
Jesus, dear. All right. Okay. Well, the way things
everybody was probably watching the Bake Off this week. That's what it was.
Well, it certainly didn't turn out a night for Warrington to take home the dough. But that doesn't necessarily mean we cannot make a winning bread. We bring you Ralph Rimmer, Steve Price, and our very own Madam Boyd in the final of the Great Super League Bake Off.
In the beginning.
Look out, Flair.
I love you, Flair.
Thank you, Paul.
There were 12.
Sorry about that. That's my butterfingers.
Now.
Keep calm. Keep the nerves under control.
Yes.
There are 3.
That is unacceptable. What could you stop?
Oh, you like that, didn't you, Prue, love?
Think you can win this, Stephen?
You know, we had everything to play for a second or third spot.
So just second or third, Stephen. You don't want to go for first, I see.
Oh, I do hope it's not bread. I'm shit at bread.
3 remaining bakers.
Could somebody tell me where the tent is?
3 final challenges.
You must be unstoppable, Stephen.
From the beginning, Stephen seemed unstoppable.
You wouldn't think that wasn't bread.
I'm filthy, bro.
But his ingenious designs...
That is ridiculous.
...haven't always been matched with great flavours.
Are you going to go vegan?
Overall, it's a bit bland.
But the 3-time star baker fought his way to the final.
Yeah, it's game on.
Sorry I'm late, Sandy. I got stuck on the M62.
Morning, bakers. Many congratulations on making it through to the Bake Off final.
Now, for your final signature challenge, Paul and Prue would like you to bake a batch of 12 small loaves.
Oh, bloody hell.
You've got 3 hours to make 12 small loaves.
On your mark.
Get set.
Oh, this is quite pressuring, Paul.
It's critical to remain calm,
yes.
Be absolutely confident
okay.
about what you're doing.
All right.
And create baking magic.
Right.
I think you'll find mine is always magic, Paul.
She'll shape her simple white dough into flowers.
That's a funny dough.
And she's also making spelt loaves.
Resilient spelt loaves.
Stephen isn't holding back.
Stephen's making flavoured loaves with garlic, rosemary and fontina cheese, a flavoured loaf filled with curry.
Any curry sauce?
Oh, my whole body's burnt up.
Go with the curry, just works. Very clever.
Yeah, not quite sure. We'll just have to put a lot of resilience tonight.
Bakers, we are halfway through your final signature challenge. Anyone need anything? You warm enough?
We'll get the gloves on again and championship rounds, isn't it?
Bakers, you only have half an hour left.
I've just put my bread in.
Just 1 minute remaining.
Don't forget your resilience, boy.
Huge amount of resilience. Some of that's going to come in spades going forward.
What do you think, Sandy, love?
Kind of a knot used in nautical. It's called a monkey's fist.
I don't know what you're laughing at, Prue. You've got to eat this shit in a minute.
Really, you know, hard nose this week.
Bakers, your time is up.
You know, hopefully that, you know, the resilience, you know, he's built. You know, I come here for a reason to, you know, get that ultimate prize, and I'll live on a handshake, and I'll continue to do that.
It's judgment time in the final signature challenge.
How do you like my babs, Paul?
I think they look very good. I do like the plant. It's a little bit underproved, but not much. The nan looks interesting.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
You're not judging me, Mr. Hollywood.
Where are you going, madam boy?
I'm not putting up with this.
Do you want a fielding fondle?
Certainly not, dear. Put your cock away, please.
Don't leave me hanging.
Disgusting. Robert, start the car. We're leaving, dear.
How am I going to get home?
I love that octopus.
Big mistake.
Hello, Paul. Hello again, Prue.
Smells good.
That's my RFL cologne.
It's actually a little disappointing because it's quite tough.
It is a little bit dense.
Yes, that's a word I hear often.
They do look pretty terrible. We're looking for consistency. They do look awful. It's massively underproved.
I've been underproving for most of my career.
Yeah, it's not good. I really don't like the flavours.
Yes, but the flavours are very popular down at the RFL canteen.
But your flavours are wrong.
Oh, Paul. Do you not think it was my best, Prue?
Not your best.
Okay, thanks for having me. I'll leave by the back door.
Wow. Well, Stephen, that is amazing.
It does look mighty impressive.
Been a little bit hit and miss of late, you could say.
Minute. I've got to find the weak link.
Oh, your texture's perfect. Nice and crisp on the outside.
I'm getting a little bit of flavour in there as well, which is good.
Do the double.
I like the curry.
Two balls.
I like the flaky edge.
Tastes divine.
Paul and Prue now have a huge decision to make.
I'll be the first one to put my hand up. I made some mistakes.
Stephen's let himself down a little bit.
Well, 10 weeks of amazing memories, but it comes down to this.
Right, guys. I have the huge honour of announcing the winner of the Great British Bake Off. I'm afraid there can only be one champion. The winner of the Great British Bake Off is...
All programmes have now been suspended on all channels to allow the broadcast of this film held in reserve for times of crisis.
Thursday night works for Sky.
Yeah.
Sky delivered good ratings on Thursday nights, and I think, as everybody knows, by a long way, Sky are our most important partner, our biggest partner, and the partner we need to keep happy, because Sky delivered. Whether we like it or not, our future is going to be very tightly linked to our relationship with Sky. Because ultimately, the challenge is the M62, and, you know, Warren, fans who want to watch Super League in their living rooms or down the pub do actually like Thursday nights. But they do work for Sky.
Oh. I think some of your best work there, Dennis.
Yeah, very good. Referring to, you know, Steve's last 10 weeks, I think you'll find in there, Robert Elstone confirming that Sky are in charge and they hold all the chips. And a metaphor for the fact that we've lost our resilience this year. Where did he go?
It was almost like Price towards the end, didn't he forgot to turn on the oven. You know, you watch those episodes, they spill it all over the floor, or you know, they put it in the fridge and it comes out and it's just shit everywhere over the tabletop. Bit like that, wasn't it?
It was.
Okay, all right, so let's move on to the Castleford review. The team was Ratchford, Lynham, Goodwin, King, Charnley, One Leg Austin, Dick Patton, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes, Jason, Flopsy, Clark. Interchange bench was Philbin, Ben Murd at Massilla, Westwood, and did you get the memo? Final score was Warrington 12, Castleford 14. What a shower of shit it was. Attendance was 5,627, leaving what, 9,000 empty seats, Sam? Something around about that?
9,500 empty seats, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Or empty places.
Let's have a quick listen to the highlights and then we'll review.
Shane just surveying the opposition territory. Puts a little kick in. Oh, and it could be a try. The referee, Chris Kendall, is going to go to the video ref. Ben Thaler is the video ref at the Hallowell Jones Stadium tonight. Have we got the first try of the night from Adam Milner? His third of the season. We have. They're bang in front of those posts. Here is Clark. Clark denied by the video ref in the first half. Patton puts the brakes on. Jake Mamo is out there and Mamo trying to twist his way over. Has Mamo got that ball down? He has! 10 metres out, that's the fifth tackle. McShane. McShane's pass. It's with Rankin! It was Watts who was underneath him. Clark's little kick. The ball is loose. It's jotted down, I think, by Chris Hill. And it is a try. Stephen Ratchford then. From just inside his own half. He's kicked 83 goals this season. This could be joyously received, but it hasn't got the distance. And Rankin is underneath it. Darryl Clark, Jack Hughes, lovely one-handed pass from Jack Hughes to Ben Murdoch Massilla. They're trying everything now. The ball floated to Warrington's left edge, to Ratchford. Ratchford to Curry. Curry's pass, and it's Bryson Goodwin. Goodwin back on the inside. Mamo can't get the pass away, but it's Ratchford. Oh, Ratchford. And the referee says it's the turnover. The tackle was completed.
Right, well, where to start, Dennis? I mean, we sort of went into this not having the most high expectations. So we weren't really on the edge of our seats, were we?
No, not at all. No. I mean, let's be honest. I think, funny enough, I watched the Salford and Wigan match tonight, and it was like a completely different match. It was like quite exciting. It was full on, everybody going at it. Complete contrast to what we saw the night before. I don't know what it was, Sam, but the atmosphere just didn't really convey like it did for the other semi-final or final, whatever.
Right, this is important because, no, I want to say this before we start criticising the performance and slagging off one or two individuals. Well, at least I will.
hang on, we should have an alert, really. Is this you're going to have a go at Ben Curry again?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, I'm serious. I want to say this. There is no doubt about this team's effort. I've seen comments on social media about I'm not trying.
You're not on social media with your Nokia phone, Sam. Come on.
Well, no, to be fair. But it's simply not the case. If we're talking about effort, there's plenty of effort, and I'll defend the whole team, even Declan, on that. But
you're not going to defend Declan.
What's
Dec Patton ever done for us, Sam?
He's pissed.
What has Dec Patton ever done?
Well, last night he missed three tackles.
Exactly. What has Dec Patton ever done for us?
Well, apart from three missed tackles, he gave away a penalty and he threw the ball into touch.
Yeah. What? What has Dec Patton?
Can I come on to that?
What has Dec Patton ever really done for us?
This is like Paxman, isn't it? It's great, this.
Well, he missed three tackles. He gave away a couple of penalties. He threw the ball into touch. He knocked on twice. And he got substituted in favour of a prop forward when we were chasing the game. But apart from that, no, in all seriousness, there's no lack of effort in that team, and we held the opposition to 14 points. But going forward,
you could say there's no.
Just a sec, Rob. Going forward, we had zero quality. We were crap going forward. That's the issue.
You could say there's no lack of effort for a serial killer, couldn't you? Doesn't mean it's right. I think we should run through all the players and sort of, rate them how they played. But we'll carry on with Deck. Let's get Deck out of the way first, and then we'll move on and we'll run through from 1 to 13.
Is he gone then?
Well, he came out with three new stutter moves that we haven't seen before. He came up with the stutter drop on, which was an absolute beauty. He did the stutter forward pass, which was an absolute...
Twice.
But his best one of all was his stutter throwing the ball into touch and then following it by bollocking half the team and pointing aimlessly in different directions. Absolutely brilliant. That should come in really handy in rugby union, shouldn't it? All that pointing, Dennis. Just aimlessly pointing.
I think so, because they do a lot of that, don't they, walking about and everything. I did ask you yesterday, you know, is it a favourable kick when you kick it out for another seven tackles in rugby union? Is it a good thing to do that? Do you get advantage from that?
No idea. Psychology behind this is that Patton, ever from an early age, has done things wrong. And this is his, like, defence mechanism. He just starts pointing. You know, he's got this sort of trigger that goes off where he starts blaming other people and pointing. And he did a lot of it on Thursday night. Sam, please tell me that's the end of Deck Patton.
I hope so. And again, I'm going to be careful here because...
You live in Warrington.
By the end of it, the lad obviously wanted the ground to swallow him up. But ultimately, because we've had Kevin Brown injured all year, you could effectively say that Deck Patton has been over-promoted. You put him in a championship team where he's got an extra second to think about things and an extra couple of seconds to do things, he's probably very good. But at this level, he's been found out, hasn't he? He's been found out. He's just
I've picked up one of my psychological books. It's called, I'll tell you what it's called in a minute. And I've just picked it up, opened it randomly, pointed at a little saying.
Pointing.
It's a Newton effect. This is out of the Roger Profanosaurus viz thing. The Newton effect, when struggling to pass, a three breather ring dreadnought, the pleasing sensation, the force of gravity takes over. I think it's something to do with having a shit.
Ooh. Is that equal and opposite forces, is it?
I think so, yeah. So maybe that's the point of Deck Patton. That's
never weird. Let's leave him there because I think he's proved he's not up to this level.
All right. Well, can I come on to Mr. London, who goes to the...
Yeah, really?
I don't know what's worse, Mr. Bolton or coming all over him.
Mr. London, who goes to the match, he said, why has it taken Steve Price an entire season to realise that we're better without Deck Patton on the field, Sam? And in the last 10 minutes of the match, we created more with him off the park, with Ratchford in the halves and Mamo at fullback, than we have all season.
I think I sent you something similar, didn't I? That
we seem to create
more in the last 10 minutes than we did in the previous 70. Interesting, the game that Ratchford got injured was the other game that he substituted Deck Patton with about 15 minutes to go. And it would be interesting if, we don't know, but in hindsight, if Ratchford hadn't got injured the week after, I'm suggesting that we would have seen Ratchford at seven and Mamo at one and Patton not on the pitch.
We've had Ratchford back. How many matches has Ratchford been back for?
Challenge Cup,
wasn't
it?
Yes. It was Challenge Cup semi-final.
So he's had the option again of putting Ratchford into the halves and he's not done that.
Correct. And he chose to go with Matty Smith, didn't he? We'll be right back.
I mean, oh, let's not forget also, lads, that this lot train together every day. It's not as if he can't run through those, you know, who he wants to play in the halves during training. Set up a few games of touch footy, and you'll soon clearly see who the ball players are. I mean, I used to shine at school playing touch footy. I was just...
Did you? I don't remember that.
It's all right. I was telling Cal Fitzpatrick we'd won a rugby match the other week as well. Didn't tell him we were in steel toe caps and cotton overalls, did you?
Oh dear. Right. Okay. Well, so we're happy with Ratchford.
Sorry, it was going to be close with Ratchford. Don't forget, you know, if like me and Cal discussed at great length, we have higher rugby sticks. You know, and then we would have, that kick go over, it would have been a draw. We could have gone down to a drop goal, but it would only prolong the agony anyway till next week, wouldn't it?
Well, that's another thing. You know, Ratchford, why the fuck did he try to boot that penalty into Latchford? You know, when you're so close to the sticks, it's best to try and put the ball through the sticks rather than over the top of them. I mean, he's got to be blamed for a little bit of that. Why crack it as hard as he did?
Don't think that made a difference to the result, though, did it?
Two more points. It would have been 14-0.
But ironically, the one right near the end of the game, he didn't try and boot into next week, did he? He tried to play. I don't understand that. And to be fair, Bish next to me said, that's too far out. I said, no, it's not too far out. Every time he takes a kickoff, he almost kicks the ball dead. Yeah.
Or he does kick the ball down. He kicked a classic one at Huddersfield.
And yet he tried to place kick that one, didn't he? He tried to place it rather than just boot it. Anyway. Yeah.
Bit odd. You know, the nicest goal kicker I ever saw used to kick the ball beautifully over the sticks was John Woods. He'd sort of side kick it. You know, he'd use the side of his foot. It never went more than sort of a meter over the bar. Beautiful kicker.
Bit of a gaiety about it, wasn't there?
Ooh. Used to like KFC, John Woods. Always used to be. Yeah, I used to go there after the match. Like, and buy a shitload of the stuff. Like, it wasn't like a bucket for one. He'd like come out with bags of the stuff. But it's a great goalkeeper. Great goalkeeper. Let's talk about our wingers then. Lynham and Charnley. Look, neither of them really set the game on fire, Sam. Lynham went for that interception. He got a hand on it, but... almost a little bit too hesitant. You've got to go for those or not go for them. And he was in two minds.
And yet, if he hadn't have gone for it and the pass had gone to Castleford, they had a three-man overlap. I actually think Charnley and Lynham have played really well to a point in the last few weeks because bringing the ball off our line, they've been excellent. But I don't remember either of them being put into space by our centres for weeks.
No. I'll tell you what we'll do here. I've got the team in front of me. We'll go through with who we're happy with, and the ones we're not, we'll delete from the team, and I'll read out the team at the end, okay? So Ratchford, we're happy with him at fullback, or we're happy with him in the team. Lynham and Charnley, it's clear that they're not getting any ball from their centres because we haven't got two ball-playing centres, and that's what we need to come on to next. Goodwin, we're losing anyway. Very much a straight front runner. At Souths, he was a winger. He wasn't a centre. He was a guy on the verge of the team that used to come in and out, float in and out.
Yes.
He wasn't quite up to standard to play NRL every week. And we've changed him into a centre. But King, to me, I've said this all along, he's flat-footed. He gets excited a bit like a puppy dog when you throw him a stick. You know, that high ball goes up in the air and he's after it, isn't he, with his tongue hanging out.
But that's his USP, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It is, yes. Yeah.
But he's not offering anything else. I think he flicked out a ball at Catalans at the back of his hand that came out as a bit of a surprise, and we scored in the corner. But neither centre are giving our wingers any ball.
Yes, I'd agree with that. I'm gonna caveat this whole conversation by saying we've got to remember we're a salary cap team, so we can't have superstars in every position.
No, but we can have competence in every position, can't we?
Yes. I think Toby King is competent. I don't think he's any. I don't see much more than that, and he is still relatively young. When we had the best three-quarter line of recent years, we had Chris Riley on the wing. Now Chris Riley, full of effort and endeavour, but he wasn't a top player. But by having him there, we could afford the stars in the other position.
Well, you know, this is perfect because, Sam, this is exactly with our podcast. You and I are the big, you know, the big winners here on the big money. You know, Dennis is our Chris Riley of the show, isn't he? I mean, he's not once asked
I'm
for
6 foot
any
four.
Money.
What are you on about?
No, we only have to pay you in crisp and Timothy Taylor's every now and again.
Yeah, crisp. Yeah, not plural, crisp. No, he said crisp. That was all it was going to be. You'd agree with that, Dennis? Both centres. You've never been a fan of Goodwin, have you? He's got you back up for some reason.
No, he did do. But I think when he was playing for his contract for South Sydney, he turned it on a bit. And to be fair to him, he's played like that all the way to the end of the season. So actually, he's not been too bad. I mean, I'm all for sort of, you know, giving them the plaudits when they actually do well. But when they don't do so good, they should drop them. Simple as that.
Be intrigued to see when he goes back to Souths, whether he even gets picked. I can't believe he's going to get in that Souths team. He's got to surely be there just as a squad
player. He's there to cover. Yeah, he's there to cover in case of injury, isn't he?
Okay. All right. Now, Flaky Blake. I think this might be his new name. I think Flaky Blake is what Flaky Blake's all about. He started the year, and Dennis mentioned this earlier this week. He said he started the year, not on fire, but as you mentioned, Sam, you could just see at some point he was going to take a game apart. He was just simmering. And then he went on the boil, and we had a lovely run with Blake Austin where he went to the top of the Super League, whatever it is, Man of Steel Awards, et cetera, et cetera. And then he went flaccid. Based on what we've just said before, the money these guys are getting paid, I'd love to see Blake Austin's salary in comparison to what he's given in the last third of the season.
In some respects,
he has been out injured for a lot of that time.
Okay. He used to get injured a lot at Canberra. This always used to happen. And the reason he gets injured is because he runs at the line.
Yeah.
He runs at the line, kamikaze, and he gets bashed on his legs. And that's part of his game. That's not going to go away. He'll do that next season again. So the bravery's there, the commitment's there. But for what they're paying him, the last third of the season has been abysmal.
Yeah, okay, okay, I'll take that. He's only played two games.
Well, this is it. Where's he been? Where's he been?
Injured.
Well, okay, now one of the reasons he got injured is because we haven't got any attacking options. He hasn't got two centres that are quality centres he can throw the ball to. He hasn't got a loose forward that can distribute the ball left and right, step off either angle, change the play of the game. So he's running at the line too often and he's getting injured.
I think we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, maybe a bit longer ago, that in a way it's a good criticism, if that can be, that he's almost trying too hard to make something happen.
Yeah,
he's trying to do it himself rather than trusting his teammates. Now, if we look next season, we have got a superstar player coming in at scrum, presumably at scrum half. I'm presuming, I don't know, but I'm presuming Widdop's going to play scrum half and Austin's going to play standoff. And Austin won't have to do it all himself and presumably will get more space.
Yeah. So it's a case possibly, are we saying that these injuries have happened this year because we haven't had options?
Well, he's been a bit unlucky, presumably, but I think... And whether he will change is another matter, but I think he's been trying to make the superstar play far too often.
Yeah.
You know what? I think if you're looking for value for money then, I think the club need to look at that and think, well, actually, we've not really got value for money out of him because we've put him in that position.
Yeah, exactly. Who's to blame? And the blame has to be around who's picking this team or this team that's been put together.
Well, hang on. I know Kevin Brown is over the hill and is not Gareth
Winterhill.
Winterhill, yeah. But if Kevin Brown had not done his Achilles, he'd have been our number seven, and presumably we'd have looked better on that side with Kevin Brown in the team.
Is that helping?
No, not really.
But we also knew.
That's what the team that was put together was. Deck is the fullback position, and he's had to play all year, hasn't he?
But we also knew when we signed Kevin Brown that he was past his best, And he was prone to injury.
Yeah, yeah.
He was prone to injury. So it's all in the equation there, isn't it? I don't want to see a Flaky Blake next year. I want to see a Milky Way because they're softer on impact, aren't they? It needs to be some
the sweet
form of...
you can eat between meals.
Very good. Should we give him a few more? Okay. All right. Okay. So we'll leave Austin in the team. We've already spoke about Dick Patton. We wish him all the best at the Ospreys next season. Right. Moving on to the forward pack. Chris Hill scored a try. I sent a WhatsApp message to say, where is he in the game? He didn't seem to... I mean, was he on the field for a while? He seemed to make a couple of good runs at the start and then he disappeared.
Stats.
Oh. Chris Hill is still a top player.
Right.
Whether he is...
over the hill.
Over the hill. Whether he is still quite the player that he was a couple of years ago, I'll accept.
Doesn't need to be.
No, but you will get a consistent 8 out of 10 performance from Chris Hill every week.
Now, we might be 8 out of 10 from Chris Hill every week. I think we'd be very easily a 9 out of 10 from Chris Hill every week if the captaincy was taken away from him.
Possibly, yeah. Mm.
And when we've got a guy who has been the captain of an NRL team, he has to be the captain next year. They have to have a word with Chris Hill and say, mate, go back to just running the ball up. Mm. He's not a captain. Yeah. And Hughes doesn't seem to like the limelight. Hughes seems to be quite shy in what I've seen him in interviews. He doesn't seem to be a leader. Again, let Hughes going back to doing what he's best at doing, and that's playing rugby league.
But a few years ago, they made Ben Westwood captain. And that was the worst season that I can remember Ben Westwood ever having, because he almost felt like, a bit like I mentioned about Austin, he had to do everything, get involved in everything, and it took away what his strength was, which was running in that right channel off a crash ball and skittling the opposition.
Mm. Okay. So again, question in the club, was Chris Hill the right man to captain the team? Was there another option in the team at the time, Sam, that we could have had?
Not
was that the,
really.
Was that the problem?
No, not really. Chris Hill is an England prop. He's probably our best player at the time. Doesn't mean that the best player makes the best captain. See Mike Brearley, circa 1981. But fair enough for an option. But you are right. We are bringing in a guy who will have that captaincy, leadership, take the team around the pitch next year. So, yes, I would agree Gareth Widdop would be my captain next year.
There's no question. Best player that we've had all season. And certainly, I don't know how on earth he's not in this this award thing, Super League Man of Steel, Darryl Clark. I mean, how...
Yes.
How the hell has he been left out of that? How does that work? Is it just people that are picking the points that are not hookers? Is that the trouble? They just don't realise how hard a hooker works?
Yes, I think it is. Go on, sorry, Dennis. Go on.
I was just going to say, I think a lot of the time it's like people who get all the tries and stick out in the highlights, whereas you think about it, Clark's always the preceding to the... the actual tries and the best moves and the breaks in a game sort of thing. And I think that just doesn't get recognised. I don't know why, because like I said, we've recognised it every week.
That's right. And if you were looking back across the season, there'd be no doubt Darryl Clark was there. But they changed Man of Steel voting that a designated member would pick his best player, second best and third. And in them early weeks, Darryl Clark was picking up 1 point, whereas Blake Austin was picking up 3 points because Blake scored a highlights reel try. Mm. And he was picking that up from what they saw there, rather than the fact that Clark was running 100 metres and making 40 tackles. I mean, on Thursday, Darryl Clark made 56 tackles.
Mm.
56.
I tell you what, though, Rob, do you designate your member to making your decisions?
I'm not going to answer that. I'm just going to move on, Dennis. It's unbelievable. You know, the last episode and you're coming out with that towards me. It's unbelievable. I could go through the whole winter season now upset, couldn't I? Unbelievable.
What, were you a designated member?
Dearly me.
Oh, you're tired this morning, aren't you?
I am a little bit. So is it better to win the Man of Steel award? Basically, you need to play in a shit team, and that's how you pick up the points. I mean, Hastings is you know excelling at Salford. If he was playing in our team, he wouldn't have been getting the top points. He'd have been another Daryl Clark, wouldn't he? He'd have been down on the points because Austin would have been taking the limelight.
He would, but if he'd have been playing in our team, I think we might have been first.
We did have the option, though, didn't we? There was a point where we were looking to sign a scrum half when Brown went, and we didn't spend the money. And wasn't he on the radar?
I believe so. At least rumour wise, he was on the radar. Whether he actually was, I don't know. But yes,
and wasn't Drinkwater on the radar as well?
Yes, I don't think Drinkwater is as good as Hastings, but yes, still, he would have made a difference. You feel.
Okay. They both were probably considered a bit like, are they ever going to make it or not? And nobody wanted to really take the punt, so they probably just stayed where they are, and obviously it worked out.
Mike Cooper, Dennis, you mentioned that you saw Mike Cooper offloaded a lot more balls at the start of the season. You think that sort of faded away a little bit?
I think, like a few other things that we probably come on to in terms of our tactics or Steve Price's tic-tacs, because he seems to get them the wrong way around. I think, you know, other teams and other clubs have cottoned on to some of these, you know, particular moves and tightened up. And I think early doors in the season, it was a bit of a free-for-all. And then everybody started to sort of, you know, get a bit savvy towards it and pretty much shut that down a bit, really, hasn't it? Because, yeah, second half of the season is not offloaded. But when you watch him still going forward and the amount of metres he makes, he's still, you know, quite an impressive prop, so you know he should definitely stay for me.
Yeah, okay. All right, now let's look at our two second rowers, or three second rowers maybe, in Curry, Hughes and Ben Murdoch Masilla. Curry, I think we've just spoken about enough. He's not where he was, and I don't think he's ever going to get back to where he was, because that knee has taken its toll and he's just not as quick. He's just not moving off the mark as quick. There was another moment in the game where I think it was their centre just went round him as if he was standing still. A couple of years ago, Curry would have got hold of his shirt tails and pulled him to the ground. I don't know what to think about Ben Curry, Sam. I mean, he's a terrifically talented player. He's just not the Ben Curry that we used to have.
I'll agree with that. But he's going to have a winter off.
Yeah.
I think he's still a good player. And I think here we're talking about, is he just a good player now, or can he get back to being potentially a great player or an outstanding player? So we've still got a good player on our hands. I'm still very happy that we've got him.
I think Curry would make an excellent 13.
The first time I saw him was actually away at Salford, when the old stadium, and they were playing the... I think he had probably been under 18s. It might have been under 19s. And he was the star player. And he was a ball player there. He was taking the ball. He was putting people through gaps. He was outstanding. So he's got that in his game.
It's got to be a 13. They've got to get him to 13. Hughes, we've spoken about him taking away the captaincy. We've got no qualms with Hughes, have we? He's a solid working second row forward. One person I have got a question mark against is Jason Clark. Look, I have no doubt he's a tenacious, he's a hard-working player, but what they're playing him in terms of what we're getting back from him, I don't think the equation adds up.
How do we know how much he's getting paid? I think he's a bit of a workhorse, he is.
You always sort of, he's not big enough to play in our forward pack. What he is good enough to do is exactly what he did at Souths, and that's he came off the bench for 15 minutes a game and tackled round the legs, and that's all he did at Souths. He played 15 minutes a week. But we're playing him for 60 minutes a game, and I presume we're paying him a lot of money. I don't know. It just doesn't add up to me. Just not quite giving what we're getting back.
Do you know what, Rob? I'd agree with you. And I like him, but when you look at the fact that he's taking a quota spot up, and the assumption, it's only assumption, but an assumption that we will be paying him a lot of money, I'm not sure we're getting value for money. He's a decent player. He's a nice player.
Yeah.
But is he good enough for what we're getting out of it?
So if you're a player coming in from overseas, you need to have either what? You need to have pace, you need to have skill, or you need to have size. But you don't need to bring someone in who's only weighing sort of 15 stone to play in the forward pack. He's just too light.
Do you think you could produce a graph that would be able to show value for money based on the salary?
Yes. We could do that, couldn't we?
Yeah. And then, like, you know, what that sort of adds up to. Because, yeah, it's all very subjective, but let's put it on a graph. Yes. Everyone
all right. Well, I don't know if anyone's, well, listeners have listened back to the Carl Fitzpatrick interview. At one point he said to us, this isn't going out visually, lads. And he moved the camera away and showed his all his tactics for the next few years. I've had that blown up in HD in a lab on Friday, and I've now got all the players' wages. And a few interesting things going up in the diary as well. Yeah. If we knew what acronyms were. So we'll work on that one, Dennis. That'd be a good one today.
Yeah.
Philbin, excellent season. I think he's been the find of the season. He was always, you know, he's been a quality player. And as so many of these youngsters have come in and disappeared from Warrington over the years, he's been the one that they've stuck with. And he had a terrific Challenge Cup final on some of those games. He's been running so hard. He looked like he was a bit injured in the game on Thursday. He had strapping on his leg, Sam, but quality find.
Yeah, I'm very happy with Philbin. Again, if we go back one to Jason Clark and we assume what Philbin is paid compared to Jason Clark, then Philbin is great value for money, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right. Be good at this. I can't wait to see this graph, Sam. It's going to be really good. he has actually disappeared now. I think he's gone to Benidorm about within 24 hours of losing. So
yeah, they booked that quick, didn't they?
Yeah, that was already in the pipeline, wasn't it?
We can get a flight on Saturday if we lose on Thursday.
Ben Murdoch Masilla. I had great expectations of this big bopper when he came into the team from Salford, but a run of injuries and maybe being a little bit overweight. We've not quite seen the best of him.
No, I think he's been one of those ones that he had a lot of promise when he was with Salford, come to us, and it's just not really sort of fired on all cylinders. Misfired on all cylinders, I think.
Intriguing. I've seen more than one comment from Salford saying we use him incorrectly. Salford used to use him down the middle. He was in the middle of the park and he could go either way he wanted to. We've used him out on the edge a lot and he's been terrific. Yeah. As a battering ram, but from what I've heard from the Salford fans, we're just using him inappropriately.
Well, maybe, I suppose maybe as the fans, wrong word. We don't. Yeah. As fans, we don't really know, do we? We're not experts, are we?
Please write in if you could describe how you could misuse Ben Murdoch Masilla.
Oh God, I dread to think what's coming in via Twitter.
All right, okay. Now, am I deleting him or am I leaving him in, boys? We're giving him another year, yeah?
I give him another year.
Oh God, yeah. Okay. When he's all good, right. He's very, very good, and when he's bad, he's awful.
Yeah, I have to move on to a sad moment on the. I had to turn this off. Ben Westwood doing his lap of honour. There he was, clapping, going round the stadium. Then all of a sudden, Sky panned out on the camera, and there was no one there. It was just Benny. Walking around the pitch, applauding no one.
I know, and you don't need to feel sad anymore. I found out he's actually head of security next year at the Halliwell Jones. So he was checking out the fire exits. And
I better clean up my swearing, hadn't I, or else I'll be thrown out on my ear by Ben Westwood.
So Sam still thinks someone was being serious.
And Jake Mamo. Interesting comments at the end of the game, wasn't it, with Sky? Oh, we've done enough. We've been successful. Yeah. Lovely lad, by the sounds of it. Lovely, lovely lad. Bit of a dropsy, but he's okay as sort of a fringe back row, you know, back, isn't he?
I'm a big fan as a first reserve. If he's your first reserve and you get an injury on the wing or at fullback, I'd be delighted that we've got Jake Manmo in the squad. If we're relying on him week on week, not quite.
So you're not moving him into the centre next alongside Josh Charnley? Could you imagine the pace down that side if we had those two?
Oh, no, I agree. The pace would be outstanding. And that's what I like about Mamo. He brings pace and enthusiasm but he also brings
errors.
At least one daft error a game, probably two.
I'm making an executive decision. I've just moved him into the centres when I'm reading out the team.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Anyway, he probably thought that was a good season. He didn't even play for Huddersfield before then, had he? So.
He's got a Challenge Cup winners medal, but so is Deck.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Right. Okay. All right. Anyone else we should mention? Was anyone who didn't play on the weekend that was out? Oh, we had Akawala didn't play. I think we've spoken enough about Akawala, haven't we?
I don't know what's happened to him, though. No one's mentioned that he's injured or anything. I don't know what's happened to him.
What about Lee Motazi?
You see that the deadly silence that happened then, I think, that pretty much epitomised.
What about
Lee Motazi? The disappointment. Let's just say that Lama Tazi has been disappointing. Move on.
Okay.
What about the what do you call it? The London, ex-London forward. I forgot his name already.
Yeah. Well, to me, he offers exactly the same as Jason Clark, but he's on three times less money.
Probably, yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that.
I will say that Jason Clark, I thought, had his best game at Wembley, and I don't think enough credit was given to him that on two of our tries, it was his quick play of the ball that led to the tries. He got in there. He didn't go down in the tackle. It was almost like, you know, the Kiwis do this in touch footy in the Sydney League, where they actually run at players and they put their hand out and get
they deliberately tipped. Get tackled almost, don't they?
And so they're playing the ball as they. There's these two kids that play at our work that just rotate. They go forward down the park doing this, and that was what Clark was doing there, standing up in the tackle, playing it quickly.
So there is one more player I'd like to mention. You know, you two are both south of the river. Luther Burrell.
Rara.
You know, let's just analyse this. We've picked him up. Ex-Rugby Union, 30-odd. What's he going to offer us going forward?
I'm saying he's got until the Easter fixtures next year to convince me. Ooh. So I'm giving him whatever that is, seven or eight games, whatever it is.
You're giving him games.
Oh, it sounds good. To convince me. He's our little Easter bunny, isn't he? He's going to pop out with his little ears on and surprise.
I'm gonna make my decision at Easter next year whether he's a waste of money or whether we've done a bit of business there.
So he's kind of, by Easter, he's going to be a brittle egg, like a very, very, like, dark.
Yeah. So, or he's going to be a hard-boiled egg.
Or he's going to be a cream egg.
Good luck with that.
Right. Oh, dear. Okay, well, I'll read that the team. Oh, dear. Right, the team is Ratchford, Lynham, a missing centre we need to find, Memo, Charnley, Austin Widdop, Hill, Clark, Cooper, a missing second row forward, Hughes, Curry at 13, interchange benches, Philbin, Ben Murdoch, Missilla, and two other players. We're leaving Burrell out of the team until Easter. So there we go. We'll move on to the predictions. I was the only one who picked that Castleford would win. I said Castleford would win 15-12. They won 14-12, so I was one out. Sam went for a
20-14. Hang on, whoa. It says 36-12 there on my piece of paper.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, boys. I'm not got my glasses on. Sam went 20-14 and Dennis went 12-8. Optimism didn't turn out that way, did it, boys?
I was closest, though.
Jesus Christ. Okay, we'll move on to a few of the listeners' comments. We've had so many this week. We've never had as many as we've had over the last few days. So apologise, I can't read them all out. I'm just going to read a selection out. One from Baztastic on Twitter. I cannot remember a time in my 35 years of going that I would be considering the future of a coach that has got us to three finals in 2 years, one a grand final. He said, but dog piss in Super League since the end of May and some awful rugby to boot. Cannot help thinking it goes deeper than just price. One in from Robert Lawson. I thought this was a good one, Sam. John Clark was a huge loss. We've looked tired for a long time now.
Interesting that. Yeah, I'm actually, or was, still am, a big fan of John Clark and still keep in touch occasionally about what he's doing in the rah-rah game. Yeah, I've got so much time for John Clark. He was a perfectionist. He wouldn't let anything go. He wouldn't let anybody get off with anything. Big, big fan of John Clark. That's not to say Gardner's not doing a good job, but yeah, Clark, even when he was playing, he lacked a little bit of ability and made up for it by doing everything he could and squeezing every last drop out of the talent he had. And maybe that's what we need.
Okay, another one came in. This is from Connor WWRL. He's not used any punctuation, lad. So if I turn blue, that's the reason why. He's written, was all our fans, the attendance was disgraceful. Everyone is excited for Widdop coming in, but however, he's known to have injury problems. But question is, do we need to do another full halfback for next season as Patton is not good enough? We do you think our season has gone wrong? We've had dreadful for a few months and was lucky we were made to make playoffs. I think Price is rich man for our club.
Dennis, could you ring 999? I think paramedics needed. Someone's lost his breath.
It's all right. He always makes himself go blue like that on purpose at a weekend.
Daniel Murphy's written in. We've had a few from Daniel Murphy. And also we've tried to sort of aim this section around what Daniel's asked for, which was reviewing the players. But he's also written here. He said, Luther Burrell, just a PR stunt, ? Price has no attack whatsoever. Price promised for months, it's an easy fix. Here's an idea. Oh. Fix it.
Yes.
Oh yes,
good idea.
That is that's fair comment. He did say it's an easy fix 3 weeks ago.
What was his name?
Daniel Murphy.
Daniel.
Oh, Daniel. Sorry, that was Jim.
And what I also like about Daniel is beautiful spelling, punctuation. So take a bow, Daniel. Alfie Garnett. Question: who's better, one, Blake with one leg, or two, Dick Patton? Anyone got Chris Sando's mobile number?
Yeah. Oh no, we don't want him back. Yeah, loads of ability, but a basket case. We don't want him back.
I've got one from Adam. Adam was going to do a soundbite for us, but he bottled it. Instead, he's written in. He said, "Where do I start? 1-17 wasn't good enough. Give credit to Cass. We didn't create anything. No creativity on the pitch, and the pack had a great game, but we are static and a lot of people throwing their weight around." So Cass. Interesting. Wire Schnauzer, he said, second half of the league has been shocking, but I think with a few good signings and some fit playmakers, our tactics will be a lot more positive next year. You'd agree with that, Sam, wouldn't you? That's sort of pretty much bang on the mark.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think we have played a very conservative, slightly negative game in the second half, and we've not been good enough to score and capitalise on the back of that.
Okay. All right. Now, with the summer season far behind us, autumn in the air and the nights drawing in, before she empties her fryer, puts up the no vacancies sign and throws a primrose and blue drape over her crystal ball, it's over to Madam Boyd.
Good evening, Dennis.
Oh, yes, still on form. Did a course on the alien tell you I was phony?
No, Dennis. You're the only person that calls me on this private line.
Oh, right. I see. Well, your predictions were bang on last week, Madam Boyd. We had Cal Fitzpatrick confirming that there'll be Wire TV, and Robert Elston breaking his promise to Toronto. So,
well, the rugby may be off, but our trip is still on, isn't it, Robert?
If we can bring it in and afford all the travel and the disruption of transatlantic travel, great.
Yes, dear, of course I am. You wanted a romantic weekend, didn't you?
You're more 18 to 30-year-old rather than, I think, what I see here, probably anecdotally, is a lot of an older age groups.
Well, you've never said age matters, Robert.
Sorry, Madam Boyd, do you think we could just have our prediction, please?
Sorry, Dennis. Ralph, boy! Come on, boy!
Fetch my ball.
Excuse me, Robert. I have the most important task round here.
Yes, but you still have a tendency to fuck it up, don't you, Ralph? Goodness me. Whatever do you have in your hands, Ralph?
Oh, it's just a mitten with some wintergreen on the outside, aiding extraction.
Put it away, dear. It looks like one of Robert London's wank socks. Right then, what can I see? Oh, yes, I can see into Mr. Fitzpatrick's little black book.
Careful. Don't want to expose anything too explicit.
He has a few names written down here. Let me see. Aaron, Andrew, Jesse.
Ooh.
Big Sam.
These sound like Australian forwards. Maybe he's got one of them in mind for next year. Anyway, thanks, Madam Boyd. Not sure when we'll speak again. I don't suppose you've got anything else?
Other than it says price out at the bottom of the page, there's nothing else there.
What? Hang on.
Robert, there.
Can you just
have you got your clothes ready for our trip to Toronto?
Yeah.
Are you feeling excited, dear?
Infectious energy, enthusiasm, passion. You know, it's just great to be. Ultimately, you know, maybe I'm a bit of a traditionalist. I just bang, 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 bang.
Steady
bang.
On, Robert. We haven't even left the airport.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the tone.
Oh, very interesting. Very interesting. I think she might be on the mark here. And I've not heard anything. She's obviously got news before me. I've not heard anything about
why?
Who we're
looking at. Where
did
you get yours news from?
Oh, I just keep my ear to the ground, you know, right. Feel us out.
Well, now he's hanging out with Carl. He's probably feeling him out.
God, Carl would run a mile in the other direction if he saw me coming.
Okay, Sam, let's not imagine you and Carl having sex, all right? Can we just move on from that, please?
Yeah,
especially
please
if you're
going
to come guzzle all down his Marks and Spencer jumper. That's not what we want.
No, I don't think there's any need for that, Mr. London. but yes, a big prop might be the
it's thrown you
forward.
Off track that, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's totally shot there.
He's totally
I tell you what, I'm traumatised. I hope Carl doesn't listen back to this. I hope he doesn't choose this one to be the first one he listens to
entirety. He's got a spare jumper from next. He'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Oh, dear. I think from what he told us about the signing, I think there's a good chance that we're going to get the guy from the NRL. What team does he play for? Oh, yeah, for the... I think he...
Norman Collier's on.
It'd be the best one, wouldn't he?
Well, looking at his foot, I mean, I did blow up the board that was behind him, and it's clear he's got a meet with the NRL player, and it's going to be... which is excellent news.
It is, it is. And regarding the price out, I think that might just be a reference to when he's on holiday rather than it actually meaning that price is out of the club.
Yeah. Okay, here it is. The section that probably should have led to him being sectioned. Pat yourself on the back if you've made it through every one of these, as building the bridge over the River Kwai would probably have been less exhausting. Come on, we're nearly there. We can do this. It's time for Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
Hey, the last one. Well,
thanks for that.
Oh, come on. There's no need for that. God. I know it's been exhausting, but, and it might have caught up with this section.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get the cork out of the champagne.
Yeah. Well, you know, this could at one point be replaced with the Cal Fitzpatrick Orchestra Pit Bubble of Innovation. After our little conversation the other week, he was obviously a big fan of the tackle bag section. But anyway, for now, we'll continue with our quest for improving rugby league. Last week, we looked at the perfect playoff system, PPS. We offered three alternative structures for the playoffs. First one being a point start draw. The higher qualification sides get a home draw and a point start with their matches. So if you're finishing first place, you get 14 points. If you're finishing eighth, you get 0 points to start the match with. The second one was Club Grand, a system where the aggregate score of the academy side fixture is also used to determine the winner. Shouldn't have a gin before doing this. And the third one was Series 8, the 8-round playoff system, finishing with a Stanley Cup-type series at the end with 7 games to determine the winner. A true test of any sporting side. So I think we know that was a mixed result here. 56% agreeing. This was from Novelty Bovel. I like the Club Grand, the academy side one. Do you think a 38-man squad would work? I think that's probably going to be quite difficult to pick your way through, wouldn't it? This podcast is going a bit longer.
That would challenge the salary cap, that 38-man squad.
It would, but maybe they have to think about that next year with the academy side. 43% against. This is off Astonishing Bum Queen. I'm sick of the season being prolonged. It clashes with the start of the kabaddi season.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so it's always a danger, really, isn't it? You know, it's probably glad that Warrington have dropped out at this point. Mm. And then there was 1%. This is off the Wire Fryer. Other chip shops are available. I'm presuming there's a chip shop called Wire Fryer in Warrington, isn't there?
Not yet, but I think they might be after next week.
Oh, God, I should patent that, shouldn't I? They said, who are you, Ralph Elstone? It's probably some kind of rugby league leadership hybrid or inbred.
Mutant.
Yeah. Anyway, this week, following on from the discussion around healthy foods that we had with Carl on the interview, we want to focus on the health of fans. Now, this is a topic, not the chocolate type, that doesn't really get considered. But when you look at the stats of our demographic, we discussed our supporter demographic comes in at a male 50 years old living with his mum. This is the age where things start to slow down and basically degenerate. And I think it's a perfect opportunity for us to maybe have a health check on that core lazy ass crisis-laden demographic. So I think, we get to that age, there's a particular sort of thing you want to be tested. And on a quite serious note, what about if we could have a mobile prostate check-in station parked at every one of the home fixtures at the ground? So that way you could go to the match, feel a little discomfort, embarrassment, and fear of the result. But when the match is finished, you could then go and get your prostate checked and return home with a smile on your face, knowing that you've taken steps to looking after yourself. So I think we'll call it the prostate hospitality box.
That's a demographic,
isn't it?
I think it is. So what do you think about that idea, lads? Would you be willing to sort of get yourself tested out at a match day, for instance?
I think, you know, it's taken 30 episodes, Dennis, but I think you have nailed it on the head here. I really do. Or nailed it up the arse, one of the two.
I've got a question. The first match will be in February next year. Do I go along and drop my kecks and bend over in February, or do I wait till sort of June, July time?
I'd wait till Easter, Sam. I do your Easter again.
I think we should get the prostate mobile thing sorted first before you drop your pants at the ground. Oh, dear, Sam. That's not going to be a good look on the first match, is it?
Now, to be serious for a second, I'm going to write to Carl about this. My partner lost her dad from prostate cancer a few years ago.
All right.
And they now have breast screening all over Sydney. You can just walk down the road and there'll be a mobile van and you can pop in and have your tits felt and see if you're okay. It can be done with prostate. We would be the first team in Britain to have a prostate check outside the ground, and there is more than one chap who's going to the ground each week that currently has prostate cancer. And if we could save one life, what a difference that would make. So I'm going to write to Carl on this, and hopefully next year we're going to get that sorted out. How about that?
Yeah, excellent.
And it will start with a demonstration with Sam with his starfish right up in the air with a backdrop of Wolfie lit on his cheeks.
But at Easter, Good Friday.
Okay, let's move on to the poll news and what would Brevin swap or see. The Brevin. poll this week The poll this week is Steve Price the man for the job? The results are, we've had A, absolutely, 17%. B, say, give him 12 more months. That was 43%. And C, say, he needs to go 40%. So it's kind of a bit of a split. And obviously, we've got the passions and the emotions of losing coming into play in this as well. I've been a big fan of him, but there are certain things that we look a little bit static on the park, whether it's not just a case of Price and who is the attacking coach and everything else that's going on. But certainly tactics need to change next year, Sam, don't they?
Yeah, I'd agree with Rob. And I'd sort of agree with the poll and why it says that. If you were looking only on this year, then you'd be looking at the last 3 months and are absolutely atrocious form. Dennis, you sent through earlier the table that Sky had put up showing us the worst team in Super League over the last 10 rounds. So on that form, you're getting sacked. But, and this is the key, so far, Steve Price has been there for 2 years. And in 2 years, you can get to 4 finals. And he's got us to 3 finals. So the guy deserves next year to see what he can do.
Right. I mean, let's look at this as a business, put your business head on. We've got Carl telling us that actually finishing where we had done and crashing out would be seen as a failure. We've got the coach coming on saying, I don't know where it's gone wrong. I don't know what's happened to us. I don't know this, that and the other. Now, as a business, your first immediate reaction is to say, like, I know where that's gone wrong. We'll learn from it and we'll turn it round. And this is what I'm going to do and change. There's a bit of a disconnect here. So you look at it and you think, well, all right, what are you going to do about it? Now, do you risk as a business then to say, well, I'm going to give that guy who doesn't have a fucking clue what he's doing to then give him another 12 months to then try and do something different?
We do this at work all the time. We have a thing called why, and you have to look back through a problem case to why. Why did that happen? And then you go back to the next why. The fact that
he's usually because you told. It's usually because you told your client something stupid, didn't it?
The fact that he doesn't know why, if he came to a meeting and said, I don't know, as Dennis has just clearly pointed out, would be a little bit disconcerting.
I would suggest that his conversation with Carl is a different, he gives a different answer to what he gives to Sky.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's probably where the root of this all lies. I would say if he was coaching the NRL, where you've got no Challenge Cup, if he'd had such a bad record at the end of the season in the NRL, he would be gone. He would be out of the door.
I'd just like to question something we've just said there then. So what you're saying is when he was asked the question, has it been a failure this season? He's actually giving out a different message from the club than what Carl was. He's saying, oh, well, it's not been a disastrous season because we've won the cup, etc. And it hasn't been all for nothing.
No, he's saying he knows the answers, but he doesn't want to voice his opinion to everyone on the television.
Well, he didn't say that.
No, yeah, he didn't say
asked,
that.
But he was asked about two or three times. It's different.
He's not going to say on TV, yeah, we were crap.
Dick Patton shit.
Yeah, and these other two players couldn't be arsed. He's not going to say that on the TV, is he?
No. Well, why can't you say that, actually, I recognise that we've not done, like, you know, we haven't got any attack. We've got players that haven't really performed to what was expected, etc. You know, you're actually giving clear indications of where you've gone wrong. But to turn around and just say,
fair comment. You know, he could have said
something like... You're not giving anything out of the way.
Looking at it two ways, is it unprofessional not to have that statement ready to rock and roll? I mean, wasn't it one of the England coaches had the piece of paper in his pocket ready to roll after one game? Was it Roy Hodgson? He had it all down pat. Now, you could say that's a bit awful to have it all ready to go. But also, it's professionalism to have that statement in your back pocket, to come out with some utter bullshit in front of the cameras. Yeah. So do we credit him for not doing that, or do we say that that's incompetence on his part not to have it ready to rock and roll.
Well, that's what it makes it look like. And that, you know, I'm not a fan of changing coaches, you know, left, right and centre. I'd rather that they stay longer and like build a culture and, you know, build and everything. But the problem I've got is the fact that he's coming out with stuff that, what the fucking hell are you doing then? You know what I mean? You know, as a club, You've got to secure your sponsors and everything, this, that and the other. If you hear that, you think, well, we're not going to sponsor them next year.
I mean, that is a terrific point, is that they're going to have to put bums on seat next year, Sam. And if we announced a new coach, it will put bums on seats. The fact we go into another season with Steve Price, and if we don't sign anyone of any quality, I know we've got Widdop coming in.
We've signed Gareth Widdop. How much quality do you want?
Yeah, but, mate, it's old news. You have to sell the sizzle and not the sausage. You know, yeah. And Widdop is a sausage now and not a sizzle. So you need something else. It's the way the world works. You need something in marketing to now make people go out and buy tickets. With what Steve Price has said and the fact that Widdop's old news, there's no incentive to go and buy a season ticket next year.
I would accept what you're saying there. But unless Wayne Bennett or someone of that outstanding nature becomes available, they will not. I do not see them making a proactive choice to get rid of a coach who's just got them to 3 finals out of the last 4.
My concern is, even though
the last 2 months have been appalling.
My concern is that if you make a commitment to go with him now, you make it to go for the full season. Because what you don't want to end up doing is get to Easter, like lost a few games, and then say, "Oh, lose confidence, get rit of him," and have Sam outside with his arse hanging out. It's just not going to be a good idea because you've got players that he's brought in that someone else is then going to have to pick up. Yeah. You basically commit to running it to the season.
If that were to happen, let's say we start the season winning just 3 from the first 10, and let's say Steve Price gets a boot. Lee Breers would be put in charge, won't he? For good or for bad, he'd be put in charge.
My biggest concern is the compassion behind the family. I don't like seeing families uprooted. You know, he's got children that are in schools over there and very happy. And that would be my biggest concern, that you give him another 12 months because of that, really. Is that wrong? Is that just having a big heart?
Well, that's why I was trying to look at it from a business point of view, because you're right. And I think that if you're going to give him a chance, then you've got to commit to that 12 months. No matter what happens next year, you've got to commit to that 12 months. And I would.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. All right. Let's move on to a few letters. I've got 3 here. I've got a long one and a couple of short ones. I'll start with the long one. This is a very interesting one. It might actually clear up something that we've realized in our demographic of where our listeners tune in from. See if you pick this up, boys. It's an email from Darren Kitson, not Daniel, Darren Kitson. As a small boy growing up in Warrington, my trips to the dentist for my regular monthly filling would take me to Museum Street. And then in brackets, he's put too many black jats. Can you just check in the manual, Dennis, and see if we can say that in 2019?
Oh, clear.
After a barbaric dentist had drilled half my face off, my mum, to cheer me up a little bit, would take me to Warrington Museum, which was situated just around the corner from the dentist. My favourite part of the museum by far were the fossils on display behind the glass cabinets, and this led me down a career path to study paleontology. And for the past 25 years, I've worked as a paleontologist on the island of St. Helena, a remote volcanic outpost in the South Atlantic Ocean. That's cleared that up, hasn't it?
Is it really?
Yeah. The island is famous. The island is famous for Napoleon Bonaparte's exile and death. There we go. He says, my second favourite exhibit in the museum was a rather anemic-looking stuffed grey seal. You may recall...
Went up the Mersey.
You may recall the lost seal swam nervously up the Mersey after it turned inland rather than out to sea. And on the 17th of June, 1908, some daft bloke shot it at Paddington Lock. A dodgy taxidermist then stuffed it before the poor dead creature found its way to Warrington Museum. Darren goes on to write, we are now fortunate enough on the island of St. Helena to receive a satellite signal, so I keep up to date with the Wire Games and your podcast. So over the last few weeks, my combined love of fossils and a lost, confused, blubbery mammal have perfectly been epitomised by the signing of Matty Smith.
Well, Darren has just solved the mystery of our analytics and St Helena. Well done. And every time I go to Museum Street Dentist, so every time I go there now, I'll just think of that seal and I'll think of Darren.
Is the seal still there, Sam?
I don't know. I've not been into the. I've not been in there for years.
I'll take a visit
prior to our next recording.
Well, we could take a picture. We'll send it to Darren. A tweet from Wilfred Spitfire. I'd like to swap Steve Price for Ian Watson, or is that like trying to swap a VIC-20 for a Commodore 64?
Are we on Swap Shop now, are we? I've got one here.
Oh, go on, Dennis.
This is off Mr. Watson. After listening to the Cal Fitzpatrick interview, he says that he's a He-Man with rubber hands and he's willing to swap it for one of Cal's M&S jumpers or a Desi Bear toy.
All right. Airdrop from Inspector Jangles. My ears pricked up at the story of Bob Bayes, the ghost of old Wilderspool Stadium. I asked my dog, God love him, who's now 93 and lives in Conway, whether he'd heard of him. Quick as a flash, he said, yes, your granddad knew him. The guy was a cheat at billiards and a fucking pervert. My dad also asks, would it be okay to have another rendition of the Philbin sing-along? So I'm sure.
I'm suggesting that wasn't a true reader's email. That's just because you want the sing along.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Oh dear. Okay. You may have all taken a listen to the Carl Fitzpatrick prior to the Castleford match. We want to sort of have a general chat, lads, about what we thought of Carl more than what we actually, you know, thought of Warrington. He did answer the question about the custodians and did we believe it was a success with Castleford? I think we've answered that. One thing we should point out here, and I was a little bit disappointed that our stat man didn't work this equation out at the time. It was a little bit of a trick for Sam and he didn't pick up on it. And that was, we said that Widdop got 3 out of 4. It's mathematically impossible when you've got 4 and you have to put them in the correct order, Sam, to get 3 out of 4. Carl also didn't pick up on that. You can get 2 out of 4. Or you can get 4 out of 4. I think you can get 1 out of 4, but you can't get 3 out of 4.
I remember thinking at the time. I don't remember Gareth getting that many, but you were on the flow. You were in the flow, so I thought, let's not shout out again and spoil the interviewer.
Oh dear. All right. Well, first of all, so what do we think about him, boys? One thing I will say straight away is I go to a lot of meetings in Sydney and there's this soft little cock expression people try and keep you waiting. There's this tactic of keeping you waiting 15, 20 minutes, you know, just to show your power. Carl was about 3 minutes late and instantly apologised for that. So he immediately got me on the right foot. I thought that was a good sign. Genuinely really nice bloke from what I could see and a very, very hard worker.
Rob, before we talk about Carl in detail, I don't think this has been sycophantic to say he was a great sport. He was a great sport and actually we're lucky to have him. All right, enough. We're lucky to have him. And obviously backed up by Simon and some of the other directors, Stuart, Mike and others. And he was a great sport. He was good fun. And he let us ask anything. And he answered everything, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did.
I think the other thing as well is that he's very open and honest, I think, in his appraisal of some of the things. I think the other thing that strikes me is that he's just got a business head on, you know, and he can sort of almost take the emotion out of some of the stuff that, you know, we asked about. And, you know, he at one point said to us, like, you know, it's good to have an opinion and challenge, you know, some of the stuff that's going on. But certainly showing us inside the inner sanctum and all the things, like you said, Rob, about, you know, you've got the blown up on HD now.
Yeah.
Should be able to help us with a few little things in the future, wouldn't it?
I know where the Christmas party is. I just need to break his code. That's the one. I don't think it's as hard to break as the Enigma code. He's got a lot of acronyms going on that chalkboard. I have blown them all up, and I should have them all deciphered by the start of the season. So
excellent.
There is one thing I need to. I think we need to help him on his presents for his wife for Christmas and future birthdays and anniversaries, because I don't think taking her to Widnes versus Swinton is going to cut the mustard for very much longer.
Oh dear. It was horrible to hear about Kevin's Brown leaking Achilles' heel, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. It wasn't horrible to hear.
I'm sorry.
No one gives a shit about Kevin Brown. Is that what you're saying, boys? He's leaking Achilles. Ooh,
that sounded sore.
Weeping everywhere. Anyway, I managed after the match to have a quick word with Kevin Brown's leaking Achilles heel. Well, I'm joined now by Kevin Brown's weeping Achilles heel. Kevin, your thoughts on having to go to Lee, Maddie Smith coming in? It's been a difficult year for you, I guess. And the game tonight, I mean, a woeful end to the season for Warrington. Do you think you could have made a difference? Well, we wish you all the best at Salford, Kevin, and here's to you winning trophies over there. All the best. Well, I think he cleared up a few good points there. He's obviously very keen to go to Salford, Dennis. Would you have liked to have seen Kevin Brown's leaking Achilles heel in the game on Thursday? Couldn't have been any worse, could it?
I wouldn't like to have seen it. I mean, Salford must be quite pleased that they're getting him now, Sam.
Yeah, I'd just like to say on the, in hindsight with Kevin Brown, I wish we'd have got him 5 years earlier. When Lee Brees first retired, I wish we'd have signed Kevin Brown then.
It's like the old people's home in Village, this.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
We spang on.
Sam's about put my name down. Yeah.
Give him a biscuit.
Here we go.
Just give him a biscuit.
Is this the official statement podcast where Sam now sort of like gets on? He's like, you know, I've got this.
High horse.
I'd just like to say, before I go on about coming all over Carl Fitzpatrick's jumper,
Oh dear. Okay, that's it for now. I need to say a few thank yous. Firstly, to everyone who's listened to the podcast and supported us. We've reached 30,000 downloads. We are by far the most downloaded Club UK podcast. I'd also like to thank George SFX Media in Sydney for setting up the Gareth Widdop scoop. To Gareth Widdop himself, Richard Shawright from 4020, the marvellous Gareth Walker from the Daily Mirror, along with Rachel and Carl Fitzpatrick, and Daniel from You've Got a Loose Wire, and not forgetting young Callum. We should also probably support and say this wouldn't have been doable without Jill, Vicky and Alyssa. But more importantly, I'd like to thank two friends who up until about a year ago, I wasn't in too much communication with. But as much as I love my family and living in Australia, there was a little hole in my heart missing. And you filled that, lad. So to Dennis and Sam, a big thank you. We will be back, wait for it, on Christmas Day. So once you've stuffed your fat face full of turkey, Quality Street and stupidly drunk yourself dry on Bailey's and Tia Maria, take a listen to our Christmas special. Sam, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Rob. And if I must say to the listeners, whether you like or loathe all the sound bites, Rob, with help from Dennis, put in many hours work on this. So well done both. And all I do is turn up for a glass of wine and a chat each week. So all the best, everyone. And let's have a good close season.
Dennis, you're a star tonight.
Dennis, you're a star and a clown.
Thanks very much. I thought I was going to get about a few more lines than that. Yeah, well, thanks for dragging us into it. I know you're going to get off on this, and you're not going to get off on this, are you, really? But no. Thanks for, drawing us into your little sort of scheme. We're like Cal Fitzpatrick in some way, that we've volunteered for this unwittingly, and we're still here a year later.
You're right there, Dennis.
I will be putting the expenses form in, and I'll be speaking to you about it later. Good seeing you.
My name's Rob London. It was 1955, the last time we were crowned champions. Come on, everyone. Another 12 months isn't going to hurt, is it? You've been listening to What Would Ryan Bevan Say? Can I just point out that I still both think you're a right pair of cunts?
Well, at least they're not a cunt.
You promised you'd never say that word on this podcast.
Cunt! Cunty, cunty, cunt. Right?
Dear.
I can't believe you've just thrown that in at the end.
Well, you started the podcast on. And did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill.